There are many things about the readings of today that are very important. In the first reading from the book of Genesis, we have the first revelation by God, but very, very quietly, very, very subdued, of the Blessed Trinity. God comes to Abraham. He doesn't come as one, or as an angel. He comes as three. And thus he shows to him and to us that God is not just one person, but three persons in one God, as we have recently celebrated in a most holy solemnity of the Blessed Trinity. As I said on that occasion, you can sit and pray and meditate till the day you die, and you will never understand it. That's just the way it is. How can God be one and yet three? How can three be three distinct persons and yet one God? Only one God. There are not three gods. There is one God, who is Father, who is Son, and who is Holy Spirit. Now, the other thing that stands here, and also in the Gospel in particular, is the reality, especially in the Old Testament and in the Hebrew culture, of hospitality. I asked Father Deacon Sanka this morning when he called me about something or other, and I said, "What are you going to preach about today?" He was saying, "I'm preparing my sermon." And I said, "What are you going to prepare about? What are you going to speak about?" He said, "Hospitality." I said, "Well, it's very good that you're speaking about hospitality, for so indeed it is. However, in the Pauline Rite, a feast that happens today in the Gregorian Rite, which we celebrated, has been moved to the end of September. And it is a saint who is the patron saint of hospitality and of service to the sick and the poor. And I bet, I could bet $1 million and no one here would know, except maybe the ones who were here this morning. And there are a couple. Because it is a feast of St. Vincent de Paul. This is the original feast. Why they moved it to September, I don't know. But nevertheless, I'm happy to have two feasts, but this is the one that we celebrated. St. Vincent de Paul extended hospitality to the clergy, and he founded the Congregation of the Mission to teach priests. They were in really bad shape. This was in the 1600s, the 17th century, throughout which he lived. It was so bad when he told his father that he was going to be a priest, and he was born not in Paris, but in Puy. So if you like to make funny sounds, just think about the birthplace of St. Vincent de Paul. Puy. Puy to you, and to you, and to you. But it is a city. And his father said, "I would rather see you dead than a priest. They are so immoral." Wow. St. Vincent, he had a call from God. It did not matter what his father thought. He respected him and honored him. And of course, he honored him to the nth degree. He is a saint in heaven. What better honor can you give to your parents to be a saint? And so he founded the Congregation of the Mission. He founded with St. Louis de Marillac. Try and say that and spell it if you wish. The Daughters of Charity, which at one time, after Vatican II, right after, was the largest congregation of women religious, having over 40,000 nuns. Imagine that. And God, I wasn't their chaplain. But anyway, now they're down to nothing. There's not one here in town. There used to be at least 100 here in town. They staff the nursing school and the old Sacred Heart and the new Sacred Heart. And little by little, they went down, down, down. Now there's none of them. There's a few left in this country. They're coming back up in some other countries. And they're even going back to their habit, the beautiful habit with a coronet. And I'm not talking about Sally Field and the Flying Nun. It was different. You couldn't fly with their coronet. So hospitality. And here we have St. Martha and St. Mary of Bethany, the sisters of St. Lazarus. And our Lord would visit them very often. It was the kind of place where they were so close that our Lord would just show up and they would put everything aside and start cooking for him, and not only for him, but for the apostles and the disciples. So imagine if 20 or 30 people showed up at your house suddenly and wanted to stay and eat and drink and be merry there. Not to the extent of sinfulness, but to the extent of normalcy. And so St. Martha was worried, and she worked and worked and worked. St. Mary sat at the feet of Jesus and listened and listened and listened. Now the combination of both is the ideal thing. And of course, that is the religious life. Those are the nuns who are active, like Daughters of Charity, but they also have to pray, they also have to study, they also have to meditate. And then there are those who are in the cloister, who pray all the time, and the only things they do are the things that are necessary for a living. Growing food, when they used to do that, and cooking and doing laundry, which they still do. So Mary represents those. Martha represents those of the active life. And our Lord reminds us, there is one thing that is really necessary. Mary has chosen the better part. So hospitality is important. But Mary was showing hospitality. She was sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening and asking questions and learning and welcoming him to her heart. St. Martha was busy working. Hopefully she was listening too. We don't know. Thank God they didn't have iPads and earphones at that time, or else you could have forgotten that. She was listening. And of course, St. Lazarus is not mentioned here. He was probably sitting with the Lord. They were very, very close. And so we too are called to extend this hospitality to Christ, first of all, and with Christ to the Father and the Holy Spirit, the three persons of the Trinity. They are never separated. And then we need to have hospitality to our Lord and our souls for everything that He teaches us. And He teaches us through the Church, through the Scriptures, through the Fathers of the Church, through the Catechism, through everything that the Church has given to us for 2,000 years. That is our Lord coming to visit us. Do we welcome Him? Or do we just listen to our earbuds and our iPads and whatever? It's very important that we get the right way, because otherwise there's not much hope for the future. Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken away from her. What have you chosen? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.